Get those nerds! What is up, everyone? Welcome to Bid Nerd, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. I gotta find the buttons that have our names on them. Michael Deeb, hey. I'm hitting up your cue from the wrong show. You're the other nerd. There it is.
Yeah, I was a new lower third. I'm like, oh, we updated our lower thirds. I wasn't even aware.
We do multiple shows in the studio, and our names are queued up. I'm John Polnick. We're recording the show from the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, in San Francisco, in his basement. Looking good, though. I don't know what he's tapping on. He's tapping on the MBAM hat for our friend Matthew Weitzel. Matthew, if you're watching, how you doing, buddy? I had dinner with him the other night. It was pretty cool.
Do you know why I'm pointing at this today?
Why are you pointing at this today?
Because today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Matt.
Oh, it's his birthday, Matthew Weitzel. It won't be his birthday when this airs, but when we're recording,
he'll be a year older by the time this airs.
That is true. Thanks for the reminder. I got to go ahead and give him a text saying happy birthday. Yeah, I think he's here. Yeah. I think he's here in Las Vegas. I think he's leaving tonight or something like that.
Wish him a happy birthday from his old pal, Michael Deeb. Let's go.
All right, guys, what do we do on the show? If you are new to the program, what we do is we find the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, Marked, and more. We talk about that car. We have a little discussion. And then we make a prediction as to what we think is going to happen with that car's auction. Will it sell? Will it fail to sell? How high will it get bid to? We make all those predictions, and then, boom, we go into the future. And on the second half of the show, we will tell you exactly what happened. We'll give you the results of that auction. We'll discuss what we think, why the results were as they were. Sometimes on the second half of the show, you really got to stick around to the second half of the show, because the thing is, we get surprise guests on the second half. You don't know. Sometimes we get, Lane Skelton from DWA. Sometimes we have Bradley Brownell. Sometimes we have, Otto Kennel-Paul. You just don't know who's going to pop in on the second half of the show. So on this episode, you're kind of stuck with us two nerds for the first half, but the second half might be really, really good. Heck, if you want to just skip to the middle, go ahead. That doesn't bother us as long as you're here, and as long as you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button, we're all good, my man.
They don't even know what car we're doing. I don't even know what car we're doing yet.
Well, it's red. I don't know. It's a pretty.
Must be Italian.
If you've clicked on this, you know what car, because it was on the thumbnail. Let's hear about it. What is this thing? Tell me all about it, Michael Deeb. Look at that.
Do you remember the first girl you had a crush on when you were in grade school or high school or whatever?
I do.
This is my first car crush. So rewind to 1984, 1985. My dad decides to get his pilot license. The guy who teaches him how to fly is a guy named Ed Derian. Ed Derian was a member of the Ferrari Owners Club and had and still has a 1975 or 76 308 GT4 Dino. And so can you imagine, I was 14 or 15, just getting to the point where I wanted to learn how to drive a stick. My dad was going to teach me, and his best friend drove a Ferrari and then like came to Christmas and gave me a Ferrari model of Testarossa or something. And I thought he was the coolest guy in the world. And I have wanted one of these cars ever since. Ed would take me on some of the Ferrari Club rallies in and around the Bay Area. And I would either sit shotgun or I would sometimes sit in the back seat with my leg on one side and my ass on the other. This very much the back seat of this car is very much like a 911 JP. So what we're looking at is, in Ferrari speak, the 308 GT4 Dino was actually the successor to the 246 Dino, as it was a mid-engine. It was the first mid-engine car. The 308 that we know from Magnum PI was designed by Pininfarina and came out a year later. And for some strange reason, Ferrari ran two different cars with the same engine and drivetrain built by two different designers. This one, the GT4 Dino, employs a back seat and is still mid-engine and is done by Bertone and has very angular lines. And for 30-plus years, the Ferrari community shunned this car and said it was ugly and referred to it as the ugly duckling or the redheaded stepchild of the Ferrari line from the mid-1970s because everybody wanted to be like Tom Selleck and have a 308 GTS that was designed by Fina and was largely considered more pretty. But I think the lines on this car are actually very beautiful. And what's really interesting, John, is this car is an American one that has big, ugly black bumpers, but the European cars have smaller bumpers, and you can really see the lines of the front and rear, you know, valances, and the car has some really pretty angles. The other thing that's interesting to note is that the suspension and the geometry on this car, despite having a longer wheelbase to give it a back seat, or actually it might not even have a longer wheelbase, it just happens to have a back seat, these cars handle really, really well. This is a car that can actually hang with an air-cooled 911 from the same era, whereas a Pininfarina 308 is a very heavy car, and the geometry and the way the suspension is set up, those cars do not handle at all. And anybody in any competent driver in a 911 can walk away from a Pininfarina 308. But the GT4 Dino is a true driver's car. So 3 liters, 8 cylinders, GT4 meaning the four seats or the four passengers. The car makes 250 horsepower and has 4 Weber carburetors. It sounds fantastic when revving it through the gears. And once you get the hang of it and the gearbox is warmed up, that gated shifter is not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. It has to be in good working order. You have to warm it up. The gear oil has to be warmed up or that car is difficult to shift. Our car, John, is in Henderson, Nevada and has 60,000 miles. It benefits from an older repaint. The thing that bothers me is they painted it kind of in this case sort of boring red. This car was originally brown, and I bet it would have looked really cool because it's definitely a car from a certain era, and I think that the color, any shade of brown that Ferrari would have done, I think would have looked cool on a car from that time period. The motor has also been rebuilt, and they upgraded the suspension with the you know, like conies and I think stiffer springs. They cut some stiffer springs. And then the wheels that are on this car are 16-inch wheels from a later 308, from a mid-80s 308. They are magnesium, which is cool, but this car would have come on 14-inch wheels and tires. So this is a +2 upgrade. And I used to think that would be the answer, but the reality is when you get up to a 16-inch wheel, the tire winds up being a lot smaller, and I just don't know if I still feel the same way. I'm starting to become that old, boring world. The smaller wheel and the bigger tire looks better. They also changed the exhaust for this. They put a full-on system on here, so it really sounds great. Does that hurt or help the value? I don't know. I mean, these are great driver's cars, and if I had one, I'd probably do a lot of the same stuff here. So, 308s, GT4s languished for years. There were $25,000, $30,000 cars. We know interest is a big player here, but I think these cars are on the move. John Haggerty says $80,000 is all the money for one of these things. This car could do over that. It looks the part, and it's been sitting in desert, dry climate. So, what do you think?
Yeah, it sure has aged well. It's funny how this particular car used to be ished all over. I mean, it really reminds me of the 348, which is one of my favorite Ferraris. It just is, and people are still kind of ishing on those at the moment. But I think they're going to have their day. I think of the 348 as kind of like the 964 of Ferrari. But this car, I've never driven any Dino. I have driven a 308, and I agree with you. You know, they're difficult to they just don't feel like a sports car. I feel like any 911 you could just own a 308 Ferrari. But this thing, if you're telling me it handles, I mean, look at that profile. That is just gorgeous. Yeah, it's funny that awesome. You know that in the same era. When you had the Lamborghini Countach, which is a really similar shape, but this car is so much more subtle. It's funny now. My 13-year-old brain would have always gone towards the Countach, but now, like you said, being an old guy, I really like this thing, and man, I really want to drive one. And the fact that it's right down the street makes me go, wow. But I don't know about the value on them. I mean, the upkeep on anything of this era when it comes to Ferrari is just something that you better be prepared for. there's never going to be an inexpensive repair. You know, the big you mentioned the wheels going through the pictures. It looked like there was a stack of other wheels. I don't know if that means it comes with the original ones.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. You know, how much does it affect the value having changed the color of the paint? You know, there were some pictures of the restoration. It's weird that now there's already, you know, chips on that and some kind of like kind of surface rust spots. But I don't know. This just seems like a fantastic way to get into a classic Ferrari and have something that's going to look fantastic and possibly be a whole heck of a lot of fun to drive. I want to get behind the wheel one of these.
Yeah, the original color was a brown metallic, because I'm looking at the sticker, the Maroon Ferro. It would have been gorgeous in that color, with or without the boxer trim that was definitely in vogue back in the day. I prefer it without, but it doesn't bother me if it's on there, because these cars were so distinctive for having that. JP, when I made my notes on this car a couple days ago, the car was at $44,000 on 16 bids. Today, a couple days before the auction closes, we're now up to $52,000 on 27 bids. So this car's getting some love and getting some action. And all that does is make me feel a little bit better about my high bid. I'm going to say $80,000, which is all the money for one of these things. If it were in the original colorway, John, and it just painted in the original colorway and you know, rebuilt the motor and upgraded the suspension, I'd say this be close to a six-figure car. But I think it's going to stay in the ballpark, but maybe bounce off the wall. So I'm going to say $80,000 and send it over to you. Our car closes in a couple of days, John.
Does it mention the service? Did you already mention that? Did I miss that? Is this thing due for the service? I know that's a big expense on these.
That's a good question. They rebuilt the motor a while ago, but I did not remember reading anything about when the last time the timing belts were done. So...
Which, as a reminder to most people, I mean, if you're clicking on this car, you probably know something about it. But if you don't, I mean, that is, what is it, every 5 years or 3 years?
2019. Yeah. Seller notes that the timing belt service was last performed in 2019, which is now 3 years ago. You could probably drive it a couple times over the winter, but I think before you get after this car next spring, you'd want to put new belts on it by next year for the season, so to speak.
Yeah, because, and for those of you who are not familiar with the service intervals on cars like this, it's not just about miles, right? It's not like, oh, well, you know, it's supposed to be every 5,000 miles or 5 years. Well, it's only got 1,000 miles on the belt, but it's been 7 years. You better change that thing because it's going to break.
Absolutely.
It's time also matters. And it matters to the value too, because even if that's BS and the belt's going to last 20,000 miles, which I've heard of them doing, it's really going to affect the value. Nobody wants one of these that's due for service.
Especially a car coming out of Clark County, which is so dry. So if the car wasn't driven for some reason, you just assume that belt is rotten. So you would. I think now that I think about it, if I was buying this car, I would change the belt before I drove it. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, for sure.
And full stop. Full stop.
You know, and on top of that too, is that, you know, when you get into a car like this, when you do that service, it's almost never just the service. When they get into something like this, they always find something else, and that can double and triple the cost of that service, and regularly does.
You change all your fluids, put the brake fluid in, and rebuild the calipers all the time, and then new plugs and wires and fuel pumps and water pumps. But these cars are
high reward. Yeah, the screw on this water pump doesn't look right. We better replace it. $6,000. All right, so your bid is $80,000. I'm gonna say that the lack of service and the fact that it's that it's not the original color, I think the people that are bidding on this are looking for a bargain. I'm gonna go a full $10,000 under you. I'm gonna say $70,000.
I think that'd cost you. I wouldn't be surprised if it does end in the 70s. But I think at $70,000, you might have undercut it too much. But we'll see what happens right after this commercial break.
Yeah, we will. Michael Deeb is absolutely right about that. Be back in a second, guys. Hey, guys, I'm super excited to tell you about our sponsor, Guys Customs. That's Guys, G-Y-X, guys_customs. That's how you spell it. Guys Customs bracelets. These things are amazing. Check them out. They're handmade in America, custom bracelets made to match your watch or your car. These things are unbelievable. I have three or four of them myself. My partner, Michael Deeb, has a bunch of them. They're pretty addictive once you get one. Each one of them are bespoke. We're talking carbon fiber. We're talking titanium. We're talking stainless steel, glass. There's none of this cheap Chinese garbage that you see a lot of bracelets being made out there. These ones are super high quality. They're made right here in America. When you go to Guys Customs on Instagram, it's about the only place that you can order one of these. When you DM the artist, you're actually reaching the real artist when you DM Guys Customs at Instagram. And she will make you a bracelet made to match that special watch, that special car, or that special person that has a special watch or a special car, and they want something really, really cool in their life. These are they make the most amazing gifts. I get compliments on mine all the time. Everywhere I go, people are like, wow, that's really cool. You can see in the pictures, these beads, the colored beads are PTS. They're paint to sample. So if you have a specific color code for your car, she'll have beads made that are specifically painted to match your car or your watch. It's unbelievable. You got to get one of these Guys Customs bracelets. Check them out. They support us, and we really, really, really want to support them. Guys Customs bracelets. All right, let's get back to the bids. Let's find out how much that car sold for today. All right, here we are, guys. We are in the future. How's the future look? I don't know. It's a little it's a beautiful day. It's a little sunny. I don't know. The light in here, yeah, it's not too bad messing with the studio here. Welcome to the future, guys. We're back. This is Bid Nerd, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Today's beautiful car is something that I've been kind of like, I've been wanting to go to the future because I'm really curious to see what happened with this particular auction. Check out this beautiful Dino. What do we got here?
The 75308 GT4 Dino in your backyard. JP, that car's in Henderson. Why aren't you driving it? Oh, I know. It's not black on black. That's why. The other reason you're not driving it is because this car is still for sale. John, I thought this car was going to achieve $80,000. I really did with the new paint and all the mods. I do wish it was still in its original shade of brown. That period red color would have been really dope on this car. But Rosso Corsa, you can't go wrong. That's Riesel red in Italian, if you speak Italian. JP, you're more pragmatic than I am. You said $70,000. Buddy, you were $1,000 away from a Yahtzee. And a sad Yahtzee at that, because our car failed to sell at $71,000 on Bring a Trailer with 50 bids. There's all kinds of action on this car, but the action petered out before it got anywhere near the seller's reserve. So this is a really interesting one to examine, John, because, again, $71,000 like 3 years ago was unheard of for a 308 GT4 Dino. But a couple of weeks ago, you and I didn't cover a 308 GT4 Dino that went to like $200,000, which I didn't even think it was an attractive car. It was like blue on blue. I was really shocked by that result. But I knew it would pull up the floor on GT4 Dinos. And I think that's the case here. I think this guy's got a lot of money into this car and modifications. There's a repaint in its history and a motor rebuild in its history. So you're talking about this guy invested in this car, the true value of the car, and now he's trying to get his money out of it. So I'm guessing the reserve on this car was probably close to six figures. And you know, the people have spoken and they're like, look, man, we see through your car. It's not stock. It's not a collector piece. It's just a great driver, and a great driving GT4 is a $70,000 car today. And so it's just an interesting result. You really have to read the tea leaves on this one, JP. And I'm proud of the community for not overpaying for this car, because I don't think it's worth it. Again, you know, the real value in this car would be if it was all stock. Well, if it's all stock, you got to repaint it. So, it's just a machine. It's a great machine. At 71, if he had sold it, it would have been a great value for the money, because this is a great driving car. This is the only Ferrari from the period that can keep up with a you know, a great Porsche build or a well-prepped 911, air-cooled 911. I would certainly have been interested in this car at $71,000, even though I would change a few things. But very interesting results. Surprised and pleased that they didn't overpay for it.
Hey, what day did this close on? Because, you know, we're in the future here. If you were watching this episode, we recorded this, you know, a week ago or whatever. So things have happened since then. What day was this?
Yeah. Saturday the 12th. Okay. The vaunted college football Saturday. I think when the fall starts and you go into the winter, I don't want my car on BAT closing on the weekend, period. Full stop.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that because you're competing with you know, football on both days, college and professional. But I think the big thing is that, you know, just a few days ago, at the time of recording this, we had the big, huge FTX collapse, which purged billions of dollars. We saw, what was it, Thursday afternoon? Last Thursday, again, at the time of recording, this is, we're a few days after that. But, you know, we saw just an absolute implosion in the crypto market. Now, it rallied a little bit back, but not anywhere. I mean, it really, it was down there in, it was bad. So how many crypto bros are now out of the market? How many people are sitting there going, all right, you know, it's time to tighten the belt. There's a lot of economic indicators out there right now that are saying things are looking rough in the future. And I think, you know, we talked about it. We've certainly talked about it many times on the show and maybe before the break. I can't remember. But, you know, a car like this being something special, but it almost too special to the point where your average person, this is not a car on a list of cars that someone with a bunch of money wants. Or maybe even a bunch of money isn't the right way to put it. Like, if you're in 911, if you're in air-cooled 911 territory, you know, you want to spend $50,000 on a really cool air-cooled car, and you don't have one, I think there's still plenty of people out there like that that maybe still have the money, still want that car, and are looking for them. There are a lot to choose from, but there are a lot more buyers. Something like this, the amount of people looking for this car and to spend, you know, a little under six figures on something like this, it's just, that is such a teeny little market. And like you said, there's 50 bids. I mean, that's got to be all the people in the world that wants one of these. And they've, they probably know, you know, whereas a 355, you know, something a little bit more modern. It's a much broader market. You don't have to know what this thing is. You don't have to know the history. There's a lot of people that want a 355 and could be dinking around on BAT. Yeah. They have that money. They're looking for something. They see that. They know what it is. They had one on the wall or something like that. Heck yeah, I want that car. But this car, I just don't think is on really anyone's list, or at least not many people's list. I want this car. But would I drop that kind of money for something like this? I don't know, man. I mean, a 911 in the same price range, you know you're not going to have to freaking service it constantly.
That's true. This car is more high maintenance than the Porsche alternative. But the, you know, the thrill of driving this car, that four cam, you know, quad cam, four carburetor, all that chain drive and all that stuff, all that noise behind your ears, you actually hear the motor over the exhaust in this car unless you pull all the mufflers out of it. And it's a thrilling car to drive. That gated shifter, when you get a couple shifts right, you feel like a hero. It's a really cool car. I dare I say it could be at times more fun to drive than the Porsche, but the Porsche day in and day out is easier to live with and much easier to own. This is not a car for the faint of wallet. But man, the joy is there. And, you know, I love that they're getting their due, that there's talk about this car, because for years this car was a redheaded stepchild. And as I said earlier, this Ferrari was my first love with Ferrari because my dad's friend had one. So I've always had a crush on this car and I want one. Anyways, we'll see. I guess maybe I'm just selfishly happy that these cars are still within reach, you know.
Yeah, to a degree.
This guy obviously wants too much for his, but, you know, I still think theoretically I could afford one, you know, if I didn't have, like, say, a wife, a kid.
All the things. Yeah, if you're
healthcare.
The DWA rally is coming up pretty soon, the Coastal Range Rally,
the
winter drive. Is this a car that you would trust to make it through the entire rally?
Yes, absolutely. 1,000%. Yeah, for sure. Again, here's the thing with a Ferrari, and you can say this about a Porsche too, JP. You know this living in the desert. The more you drive these Ferraris, believe it or not, the the Ferrari with the higher mileage is the better driving car than the car that's been sitting in the garage too long. Think of these as like 996s. You want one with 80 to 900,000 miles on it because you know the car's been driven, it's been serviced, and it's all there. The car with 8,000 miles is the car that would scare me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah this thing's been sorted out. I am intrigued. All right, what do you guys think of the result of this little Ferrari Dino? Would you trade in your air-cooled 911, or is this something that you would only own if you had space to put it next to your 911 or some other car? I don't know, man. I think this is definitely one of those situations where you're like, man, if you can get one for $80,000, and start moving some boxes in that garage and make some room. Come on, guys. Get after it. All right. Well, I do agree that that was the most interesting car of the day. We will find out what the most interesting car of the day tomorrow is. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow, guys.